Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
It's the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is time once again for No Sleep Teal, a program dedicated to discussion involving the National Football League's Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm Travis Ryer. He's Evan Ryer. And it's as simple as this for me, Evan, after that dismantling of the Los Angeles Chargers by the Jacksonville Jaguars, 35-6, in what may have been one of the most dominating home performances against quality competition that we've ever seen from this Jacksonville Jaguar organization. But the question becomes, after the meltdown in Houston just 1 week earlier, for me, it's as simple. What the hell was that? What the hell was that Sunday?
Who is this team? Like, what are they? Who are they? After getting a pretty good vibe of it, our first 5 weeks, we're like, oh, we're pretty good. And then, the last few weeks being, well, we're pretty bad. Now we're back to just, I have no clue. I have no clue which team is going to show up on Sunday. And that makes it fun, especially this past Sunday. That was fun. That was a very enjoyable watch. As Cohen, passionately said in that locker room clip that they posted after the game, all three phases. I mean, this was a comprehensive performance.
It was a kick to the khakis for Jim Harbaugh as much as anything, because the Jags did it in a way in which Harbaugh begrudgingly had to appreciate. The Jags, we've talked about it many times, if there's a blueprint for this team winning football games with its current construct, this is what it looks like, right?
192 rushing yards.
Trevor Lawrence throws it just 22 times. Effective when he does. He did have that Trevor moment with the one interception.
Yeah.
But from that perspective of the breakdown offensively and without some key personnel still for this Jaguars offense. So we understood that the Chargers were going to be missing some key guys on the offensive side. We previewed that last week, but it's not like this was a whole Jaguars team that did this to a 7-3 Chargers team coming into last Sunday.
No, this is beyond just, well, the Chargers are down some guys. This is a defensive lockdown in a way that we really haven't seen. Mm-hmm. If you just look at like plays ran, just time of possession, all that different stuff, Jaguars just sucked the life out of this game. I mean, it's nuts because like you see like Justin Herbert's only thrown 26 passes and they lose by 29. You're like, how does that work? Did they just keep running the ball? No, they only got to run the ball 16 times. They ran 42 offensive plays with some penalties in the mix too. But just the exact type of game that the Jaguars need to look to play. And as you said, the exact type of game that Harbaugh himself wants to play. To be able to do that against somebody like Harbaugh is extremely impressive by Liam Cohen. And also, if there were any questions of can Liam Cohen get this team up after a demoralizing loss, at this point, after watching them bounce back after two of, really, really bad losses this year, it's not a question. They can get up.
That's most encouraging, I think, from all of this is that, as you just pointed out, we've seen now you could make the argument they shouldn't have had to get back up after losing like they did to backup quarterbacks in Cincinnati and then in Houston. But it's still something very impressive to take into consideration, especially in the first year of a new regime. The Jacksonville rushing attack, Bashaul Tuten and Travis Etienne. Boy, you get 34 combined runs from those guys. I'm going to like the chances even before I hear the yards. Just knowing they got 34 combined carries, that's typically going to be very, very good news for the Jags. They turn it into a combined 147 rushing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. Trevor got into the mix. I like in the red zone, down on the goal line, designed run for Trevor for a touchdown. So you had 4 rushing touchdowns from the Jags in this game. Receiving-wise, I thought Jakobi Meyers, as it went along, Ev, that's more what you wanted to see. Tim Patrick, Austin Trammell early in the game on a third down comes up big.
Yeah, big catch.
And even with the issues, still no Brenton Strange at the tight end position. Quentin Morris did a really nice job in the run game. Johnny Munt, give those guys a lot of credit too.
Yeah, and you know, it's also was a redemption game after for a lot of members on that defense. I'll give credit. You know, I was trashing the safeties last week, and Antonio Johnson comes up in a big way in this with the pick, second pick of the year, 2 picks for Antonio Johnson this year. But no, just like the way that the offensive line played was easily the best performance of the year. Even in like the Chiefs game, even in like some of the other big wins of this year, like the offensive line did not play nearly as well as they played today. This was by far the best performance they've had all year. And it's really encouraging because at least in that aspect, there's some injuries elsewhere that, you know, the Jaguars are, you know, they're kind of continuing to pile on and they got to worry about, but the offensive line finally looks like they're kind of getting healthy and they're getting in a groove, which is, I mean, if in a Cohen offense where you're like, we've been talking about, you want to run the ball 40 plus times, if you can, that's critical.
No doubt. It was a 7-6 game in the second quarter. So this thing was still very much in question in terms of the outcome. Really cool play design by Liam Cohen. You run the tight end leak off of screen action to the left and the right. And I think it's Munt that you hit right down the middle of the field. And then you follow that up with Etienne, just very decisive between the tackles, doing a good job in the run game. Shift to the Wildcat down there in the red zone. Run some counter action with a guard and a tight end pulling, and Etienne finishes that run with power. Jags go up 14-6 there in the second quarter, and that was pretty much it. And took the 21-6 lead again, as we talked about earlier. Love the design run with Trevor. Don't ask Trevor to read anything. Don't ask Trevor to be a part of the decision making. We're running you right here down on the goal line, and we're running you between the tackles. 21-6. You talked about that. Johnson interception, and he had a nice return on that too.
Yeah,
you know, to set up the final score to make it 35-6. I thought that was an exclamation statement touchdown. The game was over, right?
Right.
But the way in which Hainsey and Adoga finished in front of Etienne on that touchdown run, you could tell Hainsey really enjoyed rolling up that Charger defender there to help get ETN into the end zone.
Yeah, no, that was a thing of beauty. And I will say too, you know, speaking of Adoga, especially the past like 2 or 3 games coming up to this, it's pretty rough. It was pretty rough to watch when he was on the field. He was tremendous against the Chargers, which, you know, I get that their defensive line's not exactly world-class, but there's some guys like it's not nobody, you know, guys like Khalil Mack and stuff like that. Like to be able to just kind of fully dominate, you know, no sacks, barely any quarterback pressure, and, you know, 4.1 yards per carry. That's awesome. And also, you know, we did slightly mention Jakobi Meyers. If Jakobi Meyers can be that kind of safety blanket, reliable target, then potentially, you know, the Jaguars have time for BTJ to come back, you know, like they have time to let him get healthy and to handle that stuff. And that was really nice too. And also Tim Patrick, you know, flowers to him as well. Cause that was also nice to see.
Yeah. He gets a touchdown grab in this win. And when you think about it, no BTJ, no Travis Hunter, really no Deami Brown. He was a non-factor in the game. So the top 3 wide receivers for this offense going into the season really not a factor. Now you plug in Jacoby Myers, that makes a big difference. And it just like, is to your point, that comfort level between he and Trevor continued to grow throughout this latest appearance with those two together. Defensively, I mean, what else do you need to say? The Chargers didn't hit 140 total yards, just 8 first downs in the game. Foye Oluokun with a nice job at with the tackles, but also a couple of passes defended. Dewey with a pass defended. Josh Hines-Allen. It felt like that side of the ball, especially after that abhorrent performance in the fourth quarter at Houston, they played like they heard it all week.
Yeah.
Like they took it personal, which you would want them to do. And the quarterback hits kind of lined up with that in terms of what Josh Hines-Allen was able to do. Trayvon Walker with a couple of those. Eric Armstead with a quarterback hit. From a sacks perspective, Hines-Allen in on that mix. Walker in on that mix. Armstead continues to do it, man. 2 tackles for loss for the veteran defensive tackle. It was exactly the kind of bounce back you wanted to see from that side of the ball.
No, there was a clear, you know, change, at least in vibe, you know, just intensity in terms of how they were pursuing the quarterback. Also, just in general, Campanelli deserves a lot of credit, man. Yeah. Like the game plan was like perfect. I mean, pretty much perfect. No, it was definitely encouraging to see Josh Hines-Allen kind of wake up, so to speak. Same thing with Trayvon Walker. You know, it's kind of, you know, JHA has kind of been the target, you know, of criticism over the past 2 or 3 weeks. Cause yeah, it's been a rough patch for him, but Trayvon Walker's also been pretty anonymous. He showed up in a big way yesterday, and you know, it's funny to see Eric Armstead becoming, you know, what the Jaguars were hoping for when they signed him a year and change ago, because right now he's a major factor every time he lines up in terms of not just, I mean, the sacks are coming through, but dude just is also like so athletic and so good at like bouncing off a blocker and at least like just taking up space, preventing guys like Kamani Vidal from, you know, potentially hitting that second level.
Very impressive. And, you know, a guy like Greg Newsome goes out of the game. Christian Braswell steps in there and plays some really good football at the cornerback position. He finishes with 4 tackles and a pass defensed. The Jags had 7 passes defended in this win, and the Chargers only threw 26 passes.
Yeah.
So about a quarter of the Chargers pass attempts, you had Jaguar defenders getting involved there. Again, just the perfect mix. I mean, this is the recipe for the Jags. Now, is it realistic to think it's something they're going to be able to do every week? No, because, you know, you got a team on the other side that's working hard to prevent you from being able to get into your comfort level. But, you know, we talked about this last week when it was the sky is falling. You had more than a few folks, both in the media and also the fan base, going ahead and declaring the season over.
Yeah.
Declaring the season over at 5-4. And I get it. It was unimaginable what happened in the fourth quarter a week or so ago in Houston. But now here come the Cardinals, 3-7 team coming up here. Then you got the Titans, just one of the very worst teams in the National Football League. Man, you could be looking at 8-4 with a monumental visit from those Indianapolis Colts coming up.
And, you know, that's also the fact that it's like the home game against the Colts to follow up this stretch. I mean, historically speaking, we've talked about it all the time. The Jaguars beat the Colts, whether the Colts have Peyton Manning, whether the Colts have Andrew Luck, whether the Colts have whatever. They just seem to not show up when they play in Jacksonville. So, yeah, this 3-game stretch is potentially going to be massive and could, you know, basically get the Jaguars to the finish line, at least in terms of a playoff spot. You know, at the same time, I'm not holding my breath just because, you know, the highs and lows, right? Like as awesome as this past weekend is, it's kind of hard to forget what happened the week prior. It's hard to forget the fact that the Jaguars also, like, you know, some of the losses this season have been against, you know, between Houston and Cincinnati against just bad teams.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, you're making that trip to Arizona thinking, okay, like let's stack up wins. And then when you come back to the eastern part of the US against the Titans, I mean, you should feel confident entering that game to be able to get you to 8-4. And it's, as I mentioned with those other two losses too, like, man, you're potentially looking at 10-2 if you don't just mess around. So it's a very bizarre situation. This is definitely one of the weirdest good Jaguars teams I've ever seen. You know, like 2022 was weird too. You know, that was a, you know, poor start. They somehow find it in the back half of the season. Who knows? Maybe this is the kind of win that sets up this Jags team finding it in the back half of the season.
Yeah, despite all the flowers that we've passed around here in the last 15 minutes or so to open the latest edition of No Sleep Teal, I got trust issues.
Yeah, same.
And they start with the fact that it's another backup quarterback situation, right? Yeah. Coming up this week.
Out in just Glendale. Set the NFL record for pass completions.
I know. So, yeah, the whole backup thing has got me a little shook when it comes to the Jags. But just on paper, which is dangerous, we know, these next two games, if you do get to 8-4, even with two more against the Colts coming up, those are going to be very challenging. Road trip to Denver isn't going to be easy, especially on December the 21st, you have to think. But you still get the Jets, right? And you get the Titans again. So if you take care of these next two on the road, between the Jets and the Titans alone, in those final five or so, you could be looking at 10-7, you know?
Which would be a monumental success for Lee and Cohen in this team. I mean, you know, we now have kind of adjusted our expectations, especially after those five games, you know, first five games. It was, you know, kind of coming in, it was like, well, we think this team will be competitive, right? Like, we think that they'll be in the playoff race, and they very much are. But, you know, they've also been able to do some things this year that kind of says, like, okay, this team could win a playoff game. This team could potentially, if they can, you know, if the right team shows up, they're going to be able to go win that game. So it is so bizarre. It's exhausting, to be honest with you, trying to figure out which Jaguars team is going to show up. But at least where things stand right now, vibes are great.
I'll tell you somewhere else where vibes are great, Evan. That's Party Girl over in Avondale. If you like the best chicken salad you can find, which who doesn't? Great chicken salad, great soups, great prepared meals. Right now, this week, over at Party Girl, 4205 St. John's Avenue, in that sort of area between Avondale and Fairfax on the west side of Duval. That's chicken pot pie. Chicken pot pie, one of the dinner specials, take-home dinner specials. This week, all the great dips. I mean, your game day dips. They got a dirty martini dip, Evan, at Party Girl Avondale. I like to describe it as everything that you'd want in a dirty martini, except for the vodka or the gin, I guess, or whatever.
You can get that yourself on the side.
Yeah. Just make one of those for yourself. Great dips. Got a buffalo chicken dip there at Party Girl Avondale. A lot of great stuff. And that's before we talk about the bakery. Cookies, cupcakes. Doing a cinnamon roll cake this week over at Party Girl Avondale. Get your game day set up, your snacks, your spread, all the essentials ready for you, plates, cups, everything at Party Girl Avondale, 4205 St. John's Avenue. So, Evan, I wanted to ask you about Jakobi Meyers. Go a little bit more into that latest addition to the Jaguars wide receiver room. When Brian Thomas Jr. is back in that mix, you know, I'm not so sure Jakobi Meyers qualifies as a number one in terms of what he brings to the table, his skill set. He's a 12 yard per catch kind of guy. Nothing wrong with that. That's what he was against the Chargers on Sunday, right around 13. Even if he's not your number one, does he become number one-ish in terms of how you want to work with him and how you want to go with him and what you want that budding relationship with Trevor Lawrence to continue to be?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, it's, you know, especially since we just saw him last Sunday in Jacksonville, it kind of reminds me different profile player than Keenan Allen, Jacoby Myers is, but the way that Keenan Allen works for Justin Herbert, right? Because Ladd McConkey and Gadsden, you know, these are guys that have major, you know, dynamic ability. Like they can break out a play. They can turn, you know, a 10-yard catch into an 80-yard touchdown. But Keenan Allen is the guy that moves the chains. He's the guy that, you know, kind of the heartbeat of the passing offense goes through. That's what Jacoby Myers needs to be for this team right now. Because, you know, as much as we know that BTJ can be something really special, it's just not what it is right now. It's just not, it's not clicking. So Jacoby Myers needs to be the person that really should be Trevor's first read. You know, like it should be thinking, okay, Jacoby's hitting a comeback route, just throw the ball on time. We're going to pick up the first down and keep it moving. That needs to be a big, big focal point going forward. And, you know, I will say, you know, it will be interesting to see how Jacoby Myers does, especially over these like next 4 or 5 weeks. While, you know, some easier teams on the lineup, there's some pretty good corners in the mix here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be very curious to see, you know, how Jacoby Myers does against, you know, I would say better competition than what the Chargers secondary was offering on Sunday.
And the potential, I guess, for Brenton Strange, right?
Yeah, that too. That can be so big.
And still dealing Anton Harrison you didn't have on Sunday against the Chargers. So, again, we talked about Adoga, Cole Van Lannen. Give some different guys a lot of props for that. For as sure. well from that win over the Chargers, and also how it's impacted with the tight end position, because they've gone with extra offensive linemen in a lot of situations. And it was certainly beneficial when they ran the football, some bruising runs. I can't give Etienne enough credit because he's answered the bell in terms of what he was before and what this offense needs him to be, the way they want to run the football. He's answered it, man. I don't have any questions about that with ETN. Tootin looks more and more like just a great pickup, but it's very much week to week with this team, as we know. So the trust level, Evan, I got to ask you about before we get out of here. Trust level in the Jags with the Cardinals coming up. And you're on the road. You're back out west. Feels like you were just there in Vegas, which you were. Now you're back out there. What's the confidence level?
I mean, it's probably at like, if we are going out of 10, probably a 7 out of 10. I feel pretty good about the Jaguars beating the Cardinals just due to the fact that kind of in a similar way to the Chargers, this seems like a matchup situation, you know, like this seems like a game in which the Jaguars approach ought to be really effective against a team like the Cardinals who, you know, are not great, but they do boast a really strong secondary. They boast, you know, a couple, you know, really dynamic offensive players, but you know, you knock down guys like Trey McBride. You keep them to, you know, it's okay if he goes and gets 60, you know, 70 yards. You just got to keep him out of the end zone if possible. I feel good overall, but after something like, you know, the past 2 weeks, it would be very, very Duval to go lose this game in Phoenix. It would be very on brand for the Jaguars to now go make the trip and fall flat. But overall, if I kind of had to, you know, give it a score, it'd be 7 out of 10. And my score prediction for the game would probably, I'm kind of sitting at like a, thinking like a little lower scoring. I'm thinking like 20 to 13 Jags is where my head's at.
Yeah, you got Marvin Harrison Jr. coming off that appendix situation.
Still not clear if he's going to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Baron Browning, the linebacker, has been dealing with a concussion issue. You know, they got injuries like the Jags. You know, it's that time of year. And it's probably something that gets overplayed because everybody's dealing with it. I'm kind of like you about that 6 or 7 out of 10 confidence level and expecting nothing less than an absolute freaking war that Cam Little might need to decide late out there in Glendale. Anything else, Ev, before we get out of here live on a Tuesday afternoon on Ryer on YouTube?
That's all I got other than just, I'm mad that you made me so hungry talking about Party Girl. I haven't eaten lunch today, but I guess it's on me. You know, I can eat lunch whenever I want, but I just haven't gotten to it yet today. So now I got to figure out where I'm getting chicken salad from. That's, you know, going to be inferior to, what the folks at Party Girl, do.
Yeah. It's not going to be Party Girl's chicken salad,
but
maybe it's at least golf course caliber chicken salad. Usually the golf course chicken
salad. I wish there was a golf course on my way
to work. Go find a 19th hole somewhere up there in the
Yeah, hill. It's true. I got to go to Highland Park Golf Course, I guess. Go see what their chicken salad's
That place.
I would imagine it's pretty good. I haven't had it, but.
Yeah, I mean, that place has been around over 100 years.
So they've had time. So they've had time to perfect
it. If they don't have good chicken salad after 100 years, it's
what are you doing?
It's not really gonna happen. As always, Ev, a lot of fun with you right here on No Sleep Till. Everyone out there, if you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, smash the subscribe button right now. Hit us with a thumbs up. A like would help us out tremendously as well. And for Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Thanking you once again. Until next time, so long, everybody.